I guarantee that song will be going through your head the rest of the week. So we are wrapping up our book today, God in My Head. It is the story of a young man who believes he had an encounter with God while he was drugged for dental work. The God he met was a male who talked in a booming voice, which is no surprise for someone who had grown up Southern Baptist. Just for the record, Unity does not envision God that way. A lot of you don't even use the word God. Universe, infinite, life, divine energy, spirit. Unity emphasizes the faces of God that are transcendent, everything and beyond, and immanent, God within. But God can be any image you like for your private prayers, because none of us can see the whole picture. I've been talking in this series about God like a pal, because that's how God is described in the book. That's not my vision. But if God is all that is, then any image works. The irony of this meeting with God is that the author, Joshua Grizzetti, had stopped believing in God at the time. And one of the reasons he became agnostic was because he saw bad things happen to good people, including himself, no matter how much they prayed. Devoted, religious people experienced bad things. The Holocaust is an obvious example. He also mentioned the Baptist missionary, Lottie Moon, who starved to death in China while insisting God would provide for her. Even so, Joshua still believed prayer was important for us as a way to focus our thoughts and release our burdens. So when he met God, he asked God about prayer. And we're picking up today in chapter 8, part 12. Actually, God said something Joshua found disheartening. God said he does not rearrange destinies based on prayer. We all have the same odds of being hit by a bus, and God can't stop it, or won't. God told him life's tragedies and blessings are scattered through the population randomly. Some people will have extreme good fortune, and some will have extreme hardship, but most will have about equal parts good and bad experiences. So why pray at all? Because it changes us. And here Joshua and Unity agree. The way Joshua put it, prayer strengthens faith. And remember, Jesus told people, your faith has made you well. Your faith brings about what you pray for. But what is faith? This is where Unity, not Joshua, but Unity makes the metaphysical leap to the creative power of thought. Prayer focuses thought, and thought creates, or maybe our thoughts are reflected to us. And not every passing whim, but our deep beliefs take form in our lives. They're like a setting on a thermostat. You won't be richer than you believe you can be, even if you win the lottery. That's why so many lottery winners go back to where they were before. But if we can change our deep beliefs, we can change our conditions. Joshua doesn't quite get there in this book, but that's what Unity teaches. And in that sense, we're healing ourselves. Our faith, our belief that healing is happening, can make us well. Joshua also sounded like Unity when he said we're praying to God within us. He said this inner God always knows what's happening to us and sympathizes. And he ends this chapter on prayer this way. He says, overall, God left me with the impression that prayer was an overwhelmingly positive tool. He seemed to embrace all forms of prayer, from all religions and even non-religions. The only thing prayer couldn't do, that we sometimes wish it could, is change our destinies. Destiny is what it is. Destiny? Not if we're the creators of our experience. If our thoughts can change outcomes and we have free will, then how can anyone know the future? Maybe we do come into a human existence with a few key points already planned, but even then, I believe we have a choice as we go along, and I'll tell you why. I have two minister friends who tell the story of having a health crisis years apart. They didn't know each other. But they both felt they were given a choice about whether to live or die, a cosmic soul choice. They heard a voice. And both of them chose to keep living, obviously, because they're telling this story. And they concluded from this experience, it's not all determined beforehand. We make decisions as we go along, whether we're consciously aware of it or not, even whether it's time to die. And they got to be consciously aware of that for a moment. And notice in the book where it said God welcomes prayer of all religions and no religions, that's because none of us get it entirely right. God said our religions are like children's pictures on a refrigerator, on his refrigerator. You know, he's amused and touched by the different ways we see the divine. But we weren't designed to see all that God is. And Joshua didn't see it either. But he says God told him we're getting better. Our awareness is expanding. Each new prophet hears God's voice a little more clearly. Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad, Gandhi. He also said violence in the name of God is not about religion. The one thread through all religions is to love others as yourself. Harming one harms us all. And this was interesting. God gave me a simple litmus test for all the world religions. He said that you can always tell what lies at the heart of a religion, not by how they promise to reward their most obedient followers, but by how they promise to treat those with dissenting opinions. Any institutions that pass severe judgment upon all those who do not agree with their exact doctrines should have their true motives examined with some degree of skepticism. God is love. The more love a religion saturates itself in, the closer to the truth it is. Therefore, let love be your guide. How does unity treat people who don't believe the same way, who aren't what we call like-minded? Joshua and God were getting into some big questions here. So Joshua finally just asked him outright, what is the purpose of life? And what happens after death? Remember a couple of weeks ago in the book, God said he created the universe to explore himself. When he realized his thoughts took physical form, he created everything and he made humans in his image with a thirst for self-discovery and more awareness. So our purpose is to experience life. I would say that's why we always feel pushed to be, do, and have more. It's not always ego. It's the evolutionary impulse. It's life or God saying, let's experience more. Let's try this over here. But that's all there is. We're just here to experience life. Joshua says God told him we have nothing we're supposed to do. There's no path to try to stay on. We are simply helping the universe know itself. We get to decide what we want to do. We have free will. We make choices. And there are plenty of things to do that are worthwhile while we're here. All sorts of ways to help other people and ourselves, to make life on Earth better, to grow through love or forgiveness, to create music or art. But according to Joshua, none of those are the purpose of life. They're just choices we make while we're here. And for the record, Joshua says, God hopes we enjoy ourselves. I haven't figured out, and Joshua didn't say, how you can be on earth with a destiny and yet have no purpose or anything you're supposed to do. You can talk about that in your home study groups. So what happens after this life? God said earlier in the book, there is no heaven or hell. We do have eternal souls. And apparently the afterlife has layers of possibilities and dimensions. He said reincarnation is optional. You can come back if you want to come back. You can come back at any time in history. And he noted what I have suspected, that human life always looks better when you're considering it from the other side than while you're actually in it. And then they talked about the end of the world, the end of the universe. So you remember, God particles settled into every living thing. As we elevate our consciousness and return to the spiritual beings we truly are, gradually all the particles are reuniting, putting God back together, and bringing comprehensive knowledge of life in the universe into this whole. Not just humans, but what we call aliens. The really cool part is that as we join together, we bring not only our individual experiences, but we have access to everyone else's as well. We get to see how what we did affected the whole universe. And all of us eventually will be collected into what God called the All Soul. It's a unified consciousness. The book says the All Soul will not be complete until every piece of God's creation elects to join the collective of their own free will, in their own time, and on their own terms. When this happens, after trillions of years of combined knowledge, we will consciously and collectively choose the perfect moment to breathe our last breath together. In that moment, hand in hand with God, the universe will disperse and it will be finished. This will be the end of eternity, a quiet and graceful finale to everything that ever was. I don't have any better theory than that. So as this vision or hallucination is coming to an end, God tells Joshua there's nothing he needs to do, there is no word to be spread, and that they won't meet again until Joshua dies. So God says, don't try to force another meeting. But Joshua cannot help himself. First, he wants to tell the world. He wants us to know all is well, everything is working out perfectly. We are loved and safe and beautiful. And you know, this is what everyone says who's had some kind of otherworldly experience, that everything is perfect and we are safe. So Joshua tried to tell people about it, but his atheist friends were offended by his claim that he met God, and his fundamentalist friends were offended that God didn't confirm everything they believed. One friend finally said, "You should write a book." And Joshua did try to meet God again, combining drugs with dental work, until apparently he nearly died one time, so he quit trying. He might have nearly died this time. He researched later what might have happened to him, how he was able to meet God, or what was going on in his brain, and it wasn't a typical drug trip. It was much closer to a near-death experience. Apparently, there's a series of common elements in near-death experiences, and his was very much like that. He still doesn't consider all this proof that God exists. He knows this was all happening in his subconscious while he was knocked out in a dentist chair, and he willingly admits it might have all been a mashup of things he had learned or heard through the years. Except some of it was new to him. The idea of Jesus' energy exploding into God particles and settling into every living thing. The idea that there's no devil, that in fact good and evil are both part of God, was new to him. Paul as the Antichrist in Revelation, new to me. And the all-soul and the multidimensional universe. So Joshua says he now chooses to believe in God, and choosing faith is freedom. He wraps up with several things. He says the key component of all these God experiences, whether near-death, drug-induced, or otherwise, seems to be love and universal connectedness. The message of human kindness is all around us all the time, if we're willing to hear it and see it. Maybe love is all the universe is really about. And he ends the book this way. He says, in conclusion, regardless of all the fascinating things that God told me and showed me in my vision, none of it particularly matters. It is what it is, nothing more and certainly nothing less. In the end, my hope for you reading this book is twofold. One, that whatever spiritual path you choose leads you to better yourself and to better the world around you, while being careful not to dampen, disrupt, or otherwise harm anyone else who may be on a different path. And two, that you may not overly concern yourself with precisely what God told me in my head, but truly start listening to what he's telling you in yours. Joshua's trip to the other side had God as a supreme being, but that was familiar to Joshua. And he changed. He went from seeing God out there intervening in our lives to a God particle within us not intervening in our lives. I agree, there's not a supreme being making things happen for us or testing us. You know, I believe we attract it or create it with our thoughts. And Joshua didn't make that leap. I have heard before that we are on earth for no reason except to experience life, joy. And you know, I resist the idea that we're just being knocked around by fate like pinballs. Personally, I want life to mean more than that. I'm a learner. I like ideas and input. But I have friends who hate the idea of an earth school and don't want to learn any lessons while they're here. So it is ultimately a personal choice about how to view God and the meaning of life. And apparently, none of it is wrong. If God is all there is, then every concept of God and every understanding of human existence is a part of it. Like so many people who've had this kind of experience, Joshua came back saying, "It's all perfect anyway." And I suppose that's the lesson, because I always want there to be a lesson. So for me, the lesson of this book is, we can't do life wrong. We can take it at our own pace, make our own decisions, and we have eternity to play with it until our souls all take that final breath together. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. In meditation, we become still and relax. Today's daily word is relax. If we really believed that everything is perfect and we are safe and loved, couldn't we relax? If we knew that everything is working out and the time it takes doesn't matter, we could relax. And if we knew that who we are is just one of billions of expressions of God, then whoever we are is fine. It takes all kinds because that's how God created it. That's how we developed from those very first particles. And so we can rest in this deep knowing that all is well. And I invite you to set aside whatever might be weighing on your mind this morning. And just consider the possibility that everything is working out perfectly. That this is what it looks like on the way to a great manifestation. The circumstances of your life are like scenery on the journey. And it will pass. The beautiful scenery and the not so pleasant. We wanted to experience it all. And so we let go of any worries, knowing this is what we ask for, the human journey with its ups and downs, triumphs and sadness. We get to experience it all, knowing that we are safe and loved and never alone. And we are grateful. And so it is. Amen.